This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, the moon was sighted in the Middle East and Ramadan has been announced for tomorrow, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us life and tawfiq to worship Him in this blessed month. Allahumma ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattakun. O you who believe, fasting was prescribed for you just like it was prescribed for those before you, in hopes that you may attain taqwa. When we translate taqwa, we often think of being God conscious or having the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But let us look at what Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu describes taqwa as from a practical standpoint. He was asked about the verse that every khatib recites on the day of Friday, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a taqwa that He is truly deserving of, and do not die except in a state of Islam. He was asked, what does it mean haqqa tuqatihi, a taqwa that He is truly deserving of? And he says it consists of three things. And my dear brothers and sisters, if you leave from this khutbah not remembering anything except for these three things, I would consider myself having delivered a successful khutbah. So taqwa, from a practical standpoint, he says, it is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, it is as if He is not forgotten. It is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, it is as if He is not forgotten. It is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, it is as if He is not disobeyed. It is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, it is as if He is not disobeyed. And it is to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, it is as if no ingratitude is shown to Him. It is to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, it is as if no ingratitude is shown to Him. So when we understand what are the objectives we're trying to fill this Ramadan, what should I be developing inside of myself as I'm fasting? We're looking at these three things. So this is going to be your metric for your development in this month of Ramadan while you're fasting. Number one, increasing in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commands us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dhkuru allaha dhikran kathira. O you who believe, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with much remembrance. And here's the beauty of the act of dhikr, my dear brothers and sisters. It is one of the very few acts that has little to no restrictions. You don't have to be in a state of wudu. You don't have to be facing the qibla. You don't have to be in the masjid. You can pretty much make dhikr in any place and in any state as long as it's clean. That is the only restriction. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the only time he would not make dhikr is when he was in the bathroom. And that is why when he used to leave the bathroom, what would he say? He would say, Ghufranak. Oh Allah, I seek forgiveness from you. Why? Because it was that one moment that he couldn't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now when we talk about dhikr, my dear brothers and sisters, we want to look at two things. Restricted and unrestricted adhkar. The unrestricted adhkar are to say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, and la ilaha illallah, wa la hawla wa la quwata illa billah. These are the five statements of unrestricted adhkar. Meaning throughout the day, say them as much as you can. So in the month of Ramadan, while you have nothing else to do as you're sitting, just continuously make adhkar. Continuously make adhkar. And this is one of the best things that you can do. Then you have the restricted adhkar. The restricted adhkar are what the Prophet ﷺ taught us to say after a particular action or incident. So for example, when the muadhin is giving the adhan, we're meant to repeat after the muadhin. We're meant to repeat after the muadhin. Now if someone chooses to recite the Quran or someone chooses to say La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, they're allowed to do that. But they are missing out on much greater reward. To follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is much greater than to initiate something of yourself. And this is where you have to have knowledge. The more you learn about Islam, the more opportunities you have of increasing in ajr. The less you know, the more likely you are to miss out on these opportunities. So even now, during the khutbah, my dear brothers and sisters, someone may be making adhkar in their head. But this is contrary to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Because the Prophet ﷺ teaches us that our focus should be on the khutbah. You should be focusing on the khutbah so much so that you should not be giving salams to people as you enter the masjid. You should not be responding to people's salams as they enter the masjid. You shouldn't be checking your messages. The focus should just be on grasping what the khatib is saying so that you can implement it in your life. So those are the restricted adhkar. So learn as many of those as you can. What do you say when you enter the bathroom? What do you say when you leave the bathroom? What do you say when you break your fast? All of these adhkar, those are the things that you should prioritize. At every other time, say the unrestricted adhkar as much as you can. So number one, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, it is as if He is not forgotten. As you increase in your remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what should it lead you to? It should lead you into His obedience and take you further away from His disobedience. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reports in the hadith Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that fasting is for me and I will reward it accordingly. I will reward it accordingly. My slave gives up their food, gives up their drink, and gives up their desire. So this month of Ramadan, my dear brothers and sisters, is to show us how obedient will we be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These things that are normally halal for us, we give them up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an act of obedience. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us generously. How generously does He reward us? The scholars mention that there are only two good deeds that are rewarded without restriction. There are only two good deeds that are rewarded without restriction. The act of fasting and showing patience. Why? Because the level of restraint that is required from each person in patience and in fasting will vary from person to person. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards according to their level of restraint, according to the level of the effort, according to the level of hardship, according to the level of sacrifice. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you for. Now one of the greatest acts of obedience that you can do, my dear brothers and sisters, is to give up acts of disobedience. And this is where we have to have an honest and frank discussion with ourselves, my dear brothers and sisters. There are sins that we struggle with on a regular basis. For some people, it may be smoking, it may be marijuana, it may be alcohol, it may be looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at. There is no month that is better to stop those sins than the month of Ramadan. There is no month that you seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overcome your weaknesses than the month of Ramadan. There is no month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps more people become better than in the month of Ramadan. This is the month, my dear brothers and sisters. Make that sincere intention and seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then look at the amazing things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives your way. After you're obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this should lead you to gratitude. This should lead you to gratitude. And I want us to focus quite a bit on gratitude today for several things. Number one, the greatest blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is our faith. Because ultimately that will be the deciding factor between entering Jannah and staying away from the hellfire. It is our tawheed, our shahada, our faith that will protect us and save us. And eventually what you have to come to realize is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give faith to the smartest people. He doesn't give faith to the richest people. He doesn't give faith to the most successful people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selectively picks and chooses who He gives the gift of Iman to. And the fact that He chose you and I is from the biggest of blessings that deserves gratitude. Because eventually you'll realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the dunya to everyone. Muslim, non-Muslim, righteous, non-righteous, everyone has their share of the dunya. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only give the deen to those whom He loves. And this requires gratitude. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose us from all of His creation to worship Him. The second thing that we should be grateful for is that alhamdulillah we are alive. How many people passed away last Ramadan hoping and wishing that they could be alive this Ramadan to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every dead person wishes that they could come back to the life of this world and do one more good deed. Pray one more time, fast one more time, make dua one more time, give sadaqah one more time. But it wasn't written for them, yet it was written for us. And this requires gratitude. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us health. My dear brothers and sisters, our genetics work against us. The inevitable reality for those of us that come from the subcontinent or come from an Arab background, we are naturally more prone to hypertension, to blood pressure, to high cholesterol, to high sugar, to cardiac incidents. It's just a part of our genes. That's who we are. And what that means is eventually as we grow older, fasting will become more difficult, and for some people, even not possible at all. And that time you will wish you could go back to your youth and you could fast and make the most of your fasting. Number four, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the month of Ramadan. When you reflect on the life of Nuh alayhi salam, him and his people used to live very, very long lives. Nuh alayhi salam gave da'wah for 950 years plus. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how long he actually lived. But what that means is he had 950 plus years to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to pray, to fast, to make dhikr, to make dua, to do other acts of worship that we cannot do. So how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually make our life easier? He makes our life easier by the fact that we don't have to live 1,000 years to worship Him. Rather, He gives us the month of Ramadan, in which is the night of Laylatul Qadr. In which is the night of Laylatul Qadr. That is better than worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than 1,000 months or 83 years of your life. This is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us so that we don't have to suffer living long lives. Yet He still gives us the opportunity to worship Him for that length through this month of Ramadan. Number five, my dear brothers and sisters, is that up and until you travel the world, you never realize what type of luxury you actually live in. The vast majority of the world, my dear brothers and sisters, does not have access to clean water. The vast majority of the world does not get to pick and choose when they eat, unless someone gives them sadaqah. The vast majority of the world does not have access to electricity or to heat. They do not have access to concrete walls and to solid walls to protect them from the cold. Up and until you travel the world, you don't realize that. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you all of these things that I mentioned, my dear brothers and sisters, not only are you living better than the vast majority of the world right now, but if you think of the kings and queens that have existed throughout history, you're living even better than them. They didn't have access to these luxuries. And this is something that requires gratitude. Now here's the beauty of this, my dear brothers and sisters. All of this was a logical progression. You increase in the remembrance of Allah, this increases you in His obedience and minimizing your disobedience. You increase in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this should increase you in the gratitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you're constantly looking for things to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And the more you do that, the more you encompass and embody the spirit of taqwa that we are meant to attain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the muttaqoon. Allahumma ameen. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim. Wa nafa'ni wa iyaakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikr al-hakim. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullaha li wa lakum wa lisa'il al-muslimin. Fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafur al-rahim. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, to do a quick recap, alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan was announced and the first fast will be tomorrow. from the goals and objectives of fasting in this month of Ramadan is to attain taqwa. And that physical manifestation of taqwa is to increase in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to increase in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to increase in gratitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which brings me to my conclusion. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from us this Ramadan? There are multiple ahadith that focus on one important and key theme throughout this month. Man sama Ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Man qama Ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Man qama laylatal qadri imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever fasts Ramadan with iman, hoping for Allah's reward, will be forgiven. Whoever stands Ramadan with iman, hoping for Allah's reward, will be forgiven. Whoever stands the night of Laylatul Qadr, hoping for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reward with iman, will be forgiven. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us that there is no month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees more people from the hellfire than the month of Ramadan. My dear brothers and sisters, Ramadan is that month of forgiveness. Ramadan is the month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanses us of our sins. Ramadan is the month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors of Jannah and closes the doors of Jahannam and locks up the shayateen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive us this month. And I want us to think about this beautiful hadith that we are all familiar with. I'm confident that the vast majority of this room knows this hadith. That there was a woman that lived a very indecent life. And one day she was thirsty, so she went to a well to get some water for herself so she could quench her thirst. And as she quenches her thirst, she sees a dog that is there. And she gives water to the dog and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives her for her sins. We often focus on this hadith as an evidence for the importance of giving water to people and its significance. If Allah forgave her for giving water to a dog, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you even more forgiveness for giving water to a human being. But there's a key element that is totally overlooked in this hadith by a lot of us. We don't ask the question, who sent the dog? We don't ask the question, who sent the dog? And what I want to highlight over here, my dear brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, we are not the judges of one another. For if we were, there was no mercy, no compassion. Always constant punishment. And it is truly a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Ghafur, Al-Ghafar, Al-Tawwab, is our Lord. Because He is the most merciful, He is the most compassionate, He is the most forgiving. Even those whom we would deem that do not deserve forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the dog her way so that she could give water to this dog and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive her sins. This is the Lord that we are dealing with this month of Ramadan, my dear brothers and sisters. A Lord that is looking for us to take advantage of the opportunities that He gives us so that with every opportunity, He can forgive us. So for every fast, you are being forgiven. For every salah, you are being forgiven. For every food that you provide to another fasting person, you are forgiven. For every ayah of the Quran that you recite, you are being forgiven. Constant forgiveness throughout this month. Look for that, seek it, take advantage of it, and earn as much of it as you possibly can. For if we take anything away from the fragility of life, is that we never know how much of it we have left. And if we recognize the fact that every soul shall regret in the hereafter, every soul shall wish it could do more, remind yourself of all of the things you have to be grateful for this Ramadan. As you feel weak, as you feel less motivated, remind yourself of all the things to be grateful for. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you iman, and gave you life, and gave you health, and gave you ability, and gave you so many blessings to be grateful for, let them be motivating factors when your energy is depleted so that you increase in your ibadah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to worship Him in the month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those whom their good deeds are accepted in this month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those whom their sins are forgiven in this month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those whom they are freed from the hellfire in this month. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. Wabarik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma ighfir li hayyina wa mayyitina wa shahidina wa ghaibina وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا وإذا أحييت أحدا منا فأحيي على الإسلام ولا توفيت أحدا منا فتوفاه على الإيمان اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير والموت راحة لنا من كل شر ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم